Lord, we just ask you to bless this message today, Lord God. We thank you for your presence in this place. And God, I just ask that you would just go before me, Lord, and touch the hearts before we even start speaking, Lord. We thank you for your loving kindness and the work you've done already, God, and I ask for a greater work in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This message is entitled, Are You Fake or Are You Being Real? Our text today will starting off in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. But the Lord God called man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid of you because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I command you not to eat from?" Down at verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and they clothed them. Back when I was about third grade, I had this friend named Tony, and we kind of made friends because we would switch sandwiches at lunch. Everybody's done that when they were kids. And Tony was really cool because his mom, they lived on a farm, his mom baked all their bread, they made all their jelly, and so, sorry, Dave. Anyway, so we switched sandwiches. I don't know why he always liked mine, I guess because we never made our own bread, and my mom occasionally would make jelly, but not very often. But for some reason, he always wanted to switch. Anyway, the only time I would ever take a sandwich when it was a rabbit sandwich, I couldn't stand the thought of it. But anyway, one day Tony asked me to come over. "Hey, can you come over and you want to come over and spend the night at our house this weekend?" And so after school on Friday, one Friday we went over to his house and spent the night. But he lived on a farm, so there's lots of chores to be done, milking goats and feeding rabbits and all kinds of things. But one of the things we had to do was go get eggs. And like my sister's house, she's got lots of chickens, so you always have to go get the eggs every day. So we'd reach in there and we'd back in the nest and we'd pick out the eggs and we'd put them in this basket, or I think it was a 5-gallon bucket, took them back into the house, and we gave the eggs to his mom. So she'd go through the eggs, she'd pull them out, she'd wash them, and she was doing some other thing with them. And as she was doing it, she was checking them, and she'd put these other ones to the side, and these ones here would be going in the refrigerator. Never understood how she could tell the difference between one egg and another. They all looked the same. They had the same outer, you know, size, shape, color, everything. Couldn't tell the difference. And then, so those ones that she would set to the side, those were the ones we had to go take and put out in the compost for the garden. So we'd take these eggs out, and he says, "Just launch them as far as you can get them out there." And I said, "Why?" And he says, "Well, you'll know why as soon as they hit the ground." So he chucked these eggs out there. You know, we're 11, 12 years old, and we're chucking these eggs out. And we got a half a dozen of them, and they hit, and boom, they just blow open. And boy, the stink that would come out from those eggs was just nasty. I never understood how she could tell one egg from another. They all look the same. You know, people are a lot like eggs. You look at you see what they look like from the outside, but you can't tell on the inside what they are. Paul says in Corinthians, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, your outside is one thing, and what's inside is what makes you what you are. Now, what is being fake? Being fake is saying, "Gee, this is who I am right here, but in here is different," right? Another word for fake is being artificial. Some people you see on the outside, they look like they always have it all together, but in the inside they're really rotten, messed up. People act as if everything's fine. When you walked into church today, what did you say to people? How are you doing today? How was your week? And most of the time you say, "Fine, okay, whatever." You know, it seems like it's all trivial, but every little thing that we say really has a big effect. I know sometimes when I come in, I do the same thing. Somebody asks me, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing fine, but inside I'm hurting and I'm messed up. I'm not being honest." The thing about people is it's all about the external. It's not necessarily about the internal, right? Yeah, everybody in the world that you see, it's always based on the outside, not the inside. How you look, how are you behaving, how much money do you have, what kind of car do you drive? It's all about the external. We're taught from a very early age that that's the way life is. You know, keeping up with the Joneses. It doesn't matter if it's you or your kids. It's part of our society, unfortunately, part of our culture. In other words, we're basically based on performance and appearance. And where did all this come from? It came back from Adam in the garden. Where are you? Are you hiding in the bushes? God knew. He knew where they were already, but he asked because he wanted them to realize that they were actually hiding from him. You know, what this really had an effect on the church too, if you noticed. Some of you older folks in here probably remember when you were younger. Oh, you can't go to a dance. You can't go to the movies. You can't listen to rock and roll, that type of thing. And that's been an ongoing struggle with the younger generation of the church and the older generation of the church. You can't do this, and we say that you can't do it that way, and that's the way it was. And Pastor Wayne used to say, you can't go drag racing, you know. There's a lot of things you couldn't do because that was just the way it was. Well, that came kind of from about the 1900s. You had this movement, and it just kind of spawned from that. That holiness movement is really where Assemblies of God, Foursquare, Open Bible, some of the other churches came from. And it really put up a facade instead of people being real, and it just kind of progressed over the years, and here we are today, and you don't know if people are fake or you don't know what you're getting when you see somebody. You don't know where their heart's at. You know, it's like, okay, well, I don't go to the movies, I don't listen to rock and roll, I don't go to dances. I have it all together. I must be living my life right, right? If you don't do these things, you're on the right track with God. So people in churches didn't do those things, right? I don't think so. I think still people did it. Being fake, how does being fake affect your relationship with God? You say you're doing all the right things. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. That's all great, but where's your heart? Being a real and acknowledging good and bad sides about you is being real. It's about being who you really are. Are you striving to grow, or are you just allowing yourself to stay in dysfunction? You know, knowing the gospel and living it are two different things. I believe a person is under the greatest condemnation who's someone who's been in church year after year, who's been in Sunday school, learned the Word of God, been a part of a Christian family, heard the Word of God, sung the songs, been part of the fellowship, taken part in activities in the church. They know the gospel, and yet they refuse to let Christ be their Savior. They never really give their heart to God. Never repent. Never surrender their stubborn heart to Jesus Christ. It's sad to say, but that could be the case in this church. Isaiah 29, verse 13, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but I have removed their hearts from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. You don't have to try to impress people. You don't have to try to impress God. God says there's none righteous. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is no one righteous, not even one. When we receive salvation, God gives us the grace. We don't have to impress God. That's the great part about it. He knows everything inside and out. Now, what does it mean to be real? That means being authentic. There's several words you can put. Transparency is another very good word. So I just say, I challenge you that when you come into church, come in and say, hey, you know, how are you doing? When you go to answer somebody, this is a couple answers that came up in my mind. You know, I'm sorry, I had a lousy week at work. Things are so bad that I'm worried about getting laid off. I'm stressed out from trying to do too much. I really struggle with doing the right things. I'm struggling with addiction, and if anybody knew it, I'd be kicked out of this place so fast nobody would know it. I got in a fight with my wife and on the way to church, and we're not speaking to each other. My teenager's out of control, walking away from God, and I don't know what to do. I'm strapped for money, and my bill collectors are calling me every day. And those aren't mine. Those are just things that came to mind when I wrote it. Why aren't people real? Why aren't they? It's being honest to people. It's okay to say things aren't okay. They're not doing just fine. It's just the way life is. Being fake and acting like everything is fine is easier than actually dealing with the fact that everything's not. If I feel the emotional pain, then I have to deal with it, right? That's shame. The same shame that Adam felt back in the garden. Shame drives you from God, really. And that's not a place that we want to be. People don't want to deal with it. It's easier to be fake. Matthew 23, verse 25 through 27. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and in self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside of the will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of bones of dead and everything unclean. The New Testament Pharisees were living the letter of the law, but they weren't doing the law. They kind of had this problem with that, and it seemed like it was consistent from all of them that were through there. There's a few Pharisees that got saved, and we know about Nicodemus and things, but Jesus referred to those people that were being religious as being hypocrites so many times in the Bible. He saw right through them as to what they really were, and when he told them about it, they felt ashamed of their behavior because they knew he was right. Now, Zach has been preaching about authentic relationship for about the last few years, and it keeps coming up over and over and over again. And part of that is Zach wants to have you to have a great relationship with each other. And part of that also helps you have a great relationship with God. Now, those two things together, they make the church have a great relationship with each other, and it makes them a stronger church. That's a really cool thing. The reality is, God is about the internal, what's inside, not what's on the outside. We need to be honest. We need to tell people how we really are. That doesn't mean dump a bunch of junk on them. Oh, I've had a bad week, and I don't know how I'm going to get through this. It's like, okay, I'm struggling with this and this and this. It's been a difficult time, and I really need to, can you help me pray for this? That's what it is. It's not dumping a bunch of junk, and you don't have to get into details about asking somebody for prayer or help, asking for them to hold you up. We're supposed to come alongside each other. We don't need to worry about what people think. We just need to worry about what God thinks. What are the benefits of being real to each other? We still talk about authentic relationship. What does it mean to be real to each other? What are the benefits of that? When somebody asks you, how are you doing? And it's like, I'm not doing that well. You're confessing. God does a work through that. When you say, you admit that everything's not fine, you're confessing that. God can do a work in you. And when God does a work in you, you can get that grace again. And then that grace becomes joy. And you can move on, and the healing process starts. That's what needs to happen. Remember, we are about a God that is constantly trying to move us to better ourselves to what he wants us to be, not what we want to be. If you're not growing, then you're admitting dysfunction. I love that line. That's really what it is. You're not healing. The other thing about being honest and being real with each other is Maybe, okay, somebody comes to you and they say, look, I really need prayer on this, and they don't get into specifics, and then that, well, come right alongside them. Say, look, I'll pray for you. Let's go out here in the foyer. Let's go over here and just pray for that person. You need to be proactive in helping others. If they ask for prayer, you need to ask for prayer, and you also need to pray for others. It's all about that relationship, building each other up. Paul is an excellent example of being real. He showed this through his encouragement. Let's read this. Romans, I think it's up there too. Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. I long to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I become mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Time and time again through the New Testament, Paul talked about encouraging, building up, edifying the church. You know that encouragement is mentioned 53 times in the Bible. Out of 53 times, 23 of them are Paul's words himself. Tells you what was really on his heart. Building up, encouraging, loving. Of course, we know who the greatest example of encouragement and love is Jesus. God, you know, he told us to be real to each other. There's nothing about being fake about Jesus. He was always real. Be real. Be what Jesus wants you to be. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I think it's first we need to love ourselves in church. And then when we walk out of church, show that same love to those other people. That's what Jesus was talking about, loving everybody. But that's being real, authentic, not being fake. I got to admit, sometimes I'm fake to people. I try not to be, you know. This is part of me being fake. I have to wear glasses. I try not to wear these things because I hate them. I'm sorry, Dad, I know what the word hate means now, and I really don't care for it, but I can't stand wearing these stupid things. So, I'm real, okay? You see what you get. I just want to encourage you, if you are having problems being fake, that you'd be proactive about changing that in your life. Because if you don't, it's really sin. It's not where you're supposed to be. God doesn't want us to live a lie. He doesn't want us to say, hey, you know, it's not what God's about. God's about being real and being what he is. So I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss today. I think we've had an awesome time with the Lord today, and that's what God wanted to do. So I'm just going to pray for you, and then we'll just let you go. Gracious Heavenly Father, you an awesome God. And Lord, there's just none like you, Lord God. I pray that those that are here today, that they would be real and authentic with each other, because it's what you wanted to be, Lord God. And I pray that you would address those times when somebody's being fake, Lord. If they're being fake, I would love it if you just let them know that, Lord. And then that's not what God, that you would want, Lord. God, I pray for us as we go into this week, Lord, that we would have real relationships, authentic relationships with people at work, Lord God, and be who we really are to them, Lord, which is really what you want us to be. And that we're full of your love and your kindness and your grace, Lord. God, I thank you for the anointing that's been over this service, God, and I just ask you to go with us this week. And I pray that you would just touch each and every person that is here and those that are not here. Go with us this week in the name of the Lord, I pray. Amen.